Upfront, inside the entertainment industry, is brought to you by member-supported Jazz 91.9 WCLK.
Coming up on this week's edition of Upfront, beloved Broadway actress Terry Burrell is here to chat about her new one-woman holiday musical, A Very Terry Christmas. Singer, actor, and athlete Jay Reeves is here to chat about his new Disney Plus film, Safety. And closing out the show is my exclusive with Elisa Gambino and Wendy Ely Jackson. They are the creative team behind the much-talked-about documentary Welcome to Pine Lake, which uncovers layers of poverty, discrimination, and entrenched racism in the small Georgia town. I'll also be playing music from Terry Burrell, along with new music from Chandra Carelli and a throwback from the King of Pop, Michael Jackson. But first, here's Reva Blue with this week's entertainment buzz.
The Oprah Winfrey Network OWN continues to celebrate the holidays with another original movie titled Cooking Up Christmas. Megan Holder stars as Chloe, an Atlanta-based chef who gets fired right before Christmas. She finds a new job working for a pro baseball player, Donovan, played by Lamon Rucker. The single father of three needs a full-time chef to get him through the food-centric holidays. Chloe takes the job because she dreams of owning her own restaurant. But Donovan has two priorities, southern cooking and his family. By the time the holiday season is over, Chloe's priorities start to shift. Will her heart win over her mind? Cooking Up Christmas premieres this Tuesday, December 15th at 9 p.m. And finally, congratulations goes out to Emmy Award-winning actress Jackie Harry. She joins the cast of the popular soap opera Days of Our Lives. She will star as Paulina, who comes to Salem to reconnect with her family. New to town, the successful and outspoken Paulina will be connected to the Carvers. Catch Jackie as she makes her debut on Days of Our Lives in March 2021. That's this week's Entertainment Buzz. I'm Reva Blue.
Support for WCLK programming comes from the High Museum of Art, presenting Dawood Bey, an American project, on view now through March 14th. The exhibition features photographs that trace the 45 years of Bey's career, beginning with street photography in 1970s Harlem to recent portraits and landscapes. Time tickets are required and available for purchase at high.org.
Hear those trumpets blow again, all aglow again, taking a chance on love. Here I slide again, about to take that ride again, starry-eyed again.
Hi, this is Iyanla Van Zandt, and you're listening to Upfront with Ray Cornelius.
That was Broadway icon Terry Burrell performing music from her 2016 one-woman show, Ethel, during a recent virtual cabaret show for Atlanta's Alliance Theater. The original Dream Girl is back this holiday season for another one-woman show titled A Very Terry Christmas. The virtual experience features Terry performing classic holiday music at various attractions and venues around the city. I caught up with her this week to chat about the show and much more.
Miss Terry Burrell, welcome back to Upfront. How are you?
I am absolutely wonderful.
Good.
What can I say? I have nothing to complain about, but give me time.
Right. Well, we're so excited to have you back on the show. You're here to talk about your new one-woman show over at the Alliance Theater. And it is a virtual show, just so that our audience knows that. She's not actually on stage, but she is doing everything virtually. And this is a holiday show, which I think, Terry, is this your third one-woman show at the Alliance?
No, it's my second. The first one was Ethel, which I wrote, and that was back in 2016. And now this one, actually Susan Booth, the artistic director and the director of this film, wrote the script for it. So we were going to have we had a totally different idea for something, and then we had to pivot and go this way because we could not do it with an audience, and it was more for a stage. The last one we planned, A Very Terry Christmas, was very different, and it just would not have come off the same way.
So just looking at the video, because you all did have to pivot, what was supposed to be on stage is now a video.
That's right. Somebody at the Tinashe Kajesi, came up with the idea of, so, okay, this is totally crazy, but what if we did this instead of a stage show? And she had this idea of going to all these venues that are still open. They're still open for business, even now, like the zoo or the Fern Bank or the aquarium or, you know, the Varsity. They're all still open, the Center for Puppetry Arts. And so I looked at it and I started coming up with song ideas for them. Then Susan threw in some, Tinashe threw in some. But what I said to Susan, because at first it was going to be for a stage version, I said, I want to introduce some African and some Caribbean, you know, sensibilities in the show. And so we were able to do that, especially with Little Drummer Boy. I found this sort of Africanized beat with on YouTube, and I said, oh, we got to do this. And everybody fell in love with it.
And so, Terry, take us through, if you will, the process of putting something like this together. I mean, it's a one-woman show, so it requires a lot of you because you're the only person that we're seeing. So take us through the process of putting something like this together.
Well, let me just say, yes, it is me, but the process of putting it together was much more complicated. And for that, I've got to give credit where credit is due. I mean, Susan Booth, of course, being the artistic director of the Alliance, knows a lot of folk. But it meant going to those people and saying CEOs, you know, the CEO for the College Football Hall of Fame and all of that, you know, can we do this? Will you allow us to shoot this? And so she had to go to them. Somebody had to underwrite it. And then we met for about, I think, 4 days at the Hertz Theater just to map things out. But it's everybody. I mean, Tyrone Jackson, who was my MD for my musical director for Ethel, was the musical director for this. So it's him getting the arrangements together, calling up and booking studio time because we decided it was safer to pre-record everything because you can't control noise when you're out, you know, out and about. The producers of the show who were like, can you give me some money? You know, Lark Hackshaw, who was not only in the film, but stage managed it. The people, Haley Scott, who had to coordinate the COVID testing because we had to test every 72 hours to make sure that everybody was safe. It was just, and then all I had to do was show up and know my lines. I mean, really. You know, which I didn't always do quite to the word, but you know, it was.
What are some of the songs that we may hear during the performance?
Well, definitely Little Drummer Boy. We are doing I'll Be Home for Christmas. That's the last song you hear. And then First Congregational Church allowed us to come in and do God Bless the Child because, you know, they have Jazz Vespers there on Friday night. So you'll hear things like that. What else? I don't know. All of a sudden, I'm trying to think of what I sang at Center for Puppetry Arts and it escapes me at the moment, but there's always tomorrow. There's always tomorrow. And I dance with Stan, the lovesick snowman. And those puppeteers are so good. I really believed it was a real person.
I'm Loretta Devine.
I'm Deborah Burrell.
I'm Teresa Burrell.
And we're so happy to be working on Broadway in Dreamgirls.
I have to ask, next year is going to be the 40th anniversary of Dreamgirls, which were a part of the original cast. What is your fondest memory from that show?
I would have to say the cast. You know, here's the thing that I always say about Dreamgirls. You could be in the worst mood. You could have had your dog be hit by a car or your lover leave you, whatever. When you walked through that back door, somebody was going to make you bust out laughing before that night was over. It was so joyful and joyous. Wonderful people to walk with all the time, to work with, you know, because that show was rough physically. You know, it just never stopped. But it was so professional. Everyone was so professional. It was a beautifully written story. The music was outstanding. But, you know, you can have that. But if you don't have the kind of cast that can make it work, it's not going to come off. And the thing that made it work was how much we enjoyed working and hanging out with each other. It was fantastic. And to this day, I am friends, still very close friends, with many, many of those cast members. Yeah. As a matter of fact, Loretta Devine was my muse for Ethel. She doesn't believe it, but she, yes, was she was talking to me about it. And I was listening to the way she was talking to me, how relaxed it was. And I said, what if Ethel could say whatever she wanted to say, knowing she was safe? What would she say and how would she say it? It was Loretta.
Wow. Thank you for sharing that. That's awesome. I love the, and it's funny because I read throughout COVID, I finally read all of Jennifer Lewis's Mother of Black Hollywood book. And she is, she references you all throughout the book. And it's hilarious.
We were very, very, very close friends then, like sisters. So now she doesn't have to think about why I would be friends with her. And I wouldn't be friends with her just because she is who she is. I am genuinely happy for her because I know how happy she is. She is just over the moon happy. She's at a great time in her life when she can really look at how hard she has worked, you know, and enjoying the fruit of that labor. And she's very generous with her family. That's really going to make her my friend. Yeah, she's wonderful.
Absolutely. Well, Terry Burrell, thank you so much for being my guest today on Upfront. Again, we're talking about A Very Terry Christmas, which is taking place now at the Alliance Theater's website. You can go.
You can go to alliancetheater.org and follow the prompts. At the end, you will have to register, so don't be afraid of that. Or you can go on the Facebook page, put in Alliance Theater in the search bar. It will take you there. And again, follow the prompts, the exact same prompts. And see A Very Terry Christmas.
Well, Terry, again, thank you so very much and happy holidays.
Hello, this is Spike Lee. Those of us who really enjoy jazz know you can always find great jazz in Atlanta right here on Jazz 91.9 FM WCLK. We also know that Jazz 91.9 FM WCLK can only exist with the support of its listeners. That's why it's so important for you to do the right thing by calling in with your pledge of support now. The number to call is 404-880-8807. Thank you.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles.
This is Coleman Domingo, and you're listening to Upfront with Ray Cornelius.
You can't be satisfied. There's no guaranteed spot on my team.
It's my brother again.
Baymar.
He's coming.
Ray, earlier this morning, I got her into a 30-day inpatient program.
We'll be placing Faymar in foster care.
Can't I just have a family member watch me?
It's cool. She'll be getting back to school anyway. I'll be good.
Something in me's awakening.
Uh-huh.
Wait.
You just heard a portion of the trailer for the new Disney Plus film, Safety. It follows the inspiring real-life story of former Clemson University football safety, Ray McElrathbay, who is faced with a number of challenging circumstances while simultaneously raising and caring for his 11-year-old brother, Faymar. I caught up with the film's star, Jay Reeves, who is excited about audiences seeing this amazing story of resilience and strength.
Jay Reeves, so great to meet you, and congratulations on this amazing new film, Safety. Man, had a really good time watching you on the screen. This is not your first time being involved in somewhat of a football drama. You appeared in All American. So what attracted you, I guess, to this particular project?
So going into this, you know, I played Sean on All American. Sean is so different from Ray, and that really attracted me. But both of them are dealing with drug abuse in a sense, you know. Sean is on the other side where he's in the streets, and Ray was playing someone on the complete opposite side of the ball, you know. So just to get there and to portray that and show, I guess, a solution for drug abuse was amazing to me. I couldn't have asked for a better dynamic, you know, to see both sides coming from me meant a lot for me too, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's talk about the fact that in Safety, you're actually playing a real person versus someone that, you know, a fictitious character in All American. How did you approach playing Ray versus how you played your character on All American?
Well, All American, I had the great directors and cast, so it was easy for me to just build and just start from the bottom up. I feel like on TV shows too, you're given a little bit more. Not more time, but you're given a little bit more space to play. You know, you're that person. But with Ray, I wanted to honor him. I wanted to respect him, and I wanted to portray him correctly. So I spent time playing Ray was a lot more patient. I had to really, really be patient with myself in terms of the work I put in, not just advance because I felt like I understood a part, but go back and read it twice because it wasn't just my life or my imagination creating this character. This is an actual person, an actual heartbeat. And I just wanted to honor that.
What was it also like being directed by Reginald Hutland, who is an iconic individual in the entertainment industry?
Well, Reggie is incredible. Man, I'm a big actor. Well, I'm a big fan of directors who cater to actors. You know, there's certain directors who are just like, hey, do your thing. I hired you. And there's certain directors who really want to work with you and figure out what's going on. And Reggie was a little bit of both. He let us breathe when there were times where we needed to breathe, and he applied the pressure when he needed to. But most importantly, he made a fun environment. Rob Hardy on All American was the same way. He created this fun environment, but Rob, they were both very patient. Even when speaking to us, they would talk and maybe whisper a direction and then back up and let you do it, you know? So it was incredible.
Why are you helping me?
Everyone's family here.
This is where you rise. This is where you shine.
My brother and I had it kind of tough growing up.
History in the making.
Clemson has given me the opportunity to change my life.
Come on!
My coaches, my teammates. These men are my brothers too.
History in the making.
Let's talk about the Disney factor, because this is airing on Disney Plus, and as you know, Disney projects tend to live forever. So did you ever imagine yourself being a part of the Disney brand?
No. No, it's not that I didn't imagine myself. It just kind of snuck up on me. To be honest, like when I started acting, I told myself, my mom was telling me, hey, you got 5 years to make it. In my head, I gave myself 25 years to make it. You know, I knew that I was going to be in this for the long haul. So to be working with Disney is incredible. It's the best company I've ever worked with in any job. Lord knows I worked a lot of jobs. So just to be here is humbling. It's also just otherworldly, you know, and in many cases, I'm speechless.
If I'm correct, this is your first leading role, correct? This is your first time as a lead for a project?
Yeah, well, solo lead. My first movie, I played this autistic wrestler, and we had like maybe five other leads. It was more of that Crash type feel where, you know, you go in between stories. But this is the first time from day one to the last day where I had to work and I had to carry something. I learned so much while shooting this. And just things you wouldn't even think of, you know, working 45 days is a whole different beast. I'm used to working that long on stage or maybe on TV, but as a lead for a film, it's a whole different beast. So it's incredible.
Wow. So you're somewhat of a modern day Paul Robeson. You know, he was an actor, an athlete. And so I could so envision you doing something like a Hamilton. Is that something that you'd love to be able to do where you can kind of, you know, combine your love for music as well as acting on stage?
Oh my gosh. From your mouth to God's ears. Yeah, I just hope that can happen. I'm a big fan of the stage, period. I did Fences not too long ago after not getting the movie. So I went on stage and did it, and I found that love, which really kind of pushed me towards music too. You know, the live performance. I got into music because I wanted to live perform. I wanted to be able to hop on the stage and scream and take off my shirt. I thought it would be fun, just how the crowd from a play feeds you, the same thing it does with music. So, yeah, I would love to be in Hamilton. I would love to be even something close to that. I'm a big fan of live performance. And, yeah, put it together.
We're in the holiday season. What's your hope for this year as we move in – well, actually now and also as we move into 2021?
I just hope that people can find the love and humanity in this project. And I hope that it speaks to their lives. I hope that this project can change lives, can bring out the unity within broken households. And I hope that in any way I possibly could have or can, that I can give to people. I gave a lot of my emotion, a lot of my history, and a lot of Ray's history and emotion in this project. So I just hope they can perceive it well. And love this project.
Safety is available now for your viewing pleasure on Disney Plus. I'm standing with the man in the mirror. I'm asking him to change his ways. And no
message gonna bend any clever. If you wanna make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and then make a change. Hi, this is Kathleen Bertrand, and you're listening to Upfront with Ray Cornelius.
How many cities with less than 800 people have a police department? How many people have a beach? We're running a country club on a shoestring budget.
I pledge allegiance to the flag.
We have spent our money, our focus, and our time as citizens creating this arts natural habitat. That's our tagline.
It's easy to use slogans. It's easy to offer gimmicks. But you gotta put your money and your words where your mouth is.
Pine Lake is predominantly white, but the surrounding area is 90% black.
Here in our city court, the optics kind of suck for me sometimes.
You coming to work and wanting to do a great job, and every time you hear it, it's like Pine Lake.
You just heard a portion of the trailer for the new documentary, Welcome to Pine Lake. The film delves beneath the surface of the small Georgia town just 12 miles from Atlanta, where the mayor, the city council, the police chief, and one judge are all female. However, the film exposes that historically, much of the city's funding depended on traffic tickets and other fines levied against predominantly black residents. I caught up with the film's writer and director, Elisa Gambino, and executive producer, Wendy Ely Jackson, to chat about the film and its timely message.
So ladies, let's talk about what inspired this particular film? What inspired this project? And we'll start with you, Elisa.
First, thanks for having us, Ray. I really appreciate it. In 2018, there were so many women running for public office across the country. And as a woman, I was super inspired by that. And I wanted to see if maybe there was a place. It got me imagining that maybe we could be in a world that was actually run by women one day. And so it got me inspired to maybe find a place where that had already happened. So I did research over a few days, and I found this little city of Pine Lake, just 12 miles from my house, that is governed entirely by women. So the judicial system, the city council, there's not a man in a position of authority across that city, across that power structure, basically. So I went out there to do a film that I thought would be an empowering film about female leadership. And I found some of that. And then Wendy and I found some other things as well.
And as filmmakers, when you come across this and you realize that your original story was just the surface, but there is something that is much heavier and much deeper and is more of a concern for now, this time now, how do you pivot as the filmmaker? And was the response a positive one?
No. So the film was meant to show female leadership. The film shows female leadership. Mm-hmm. And that's a little uncomfortable for many people to watch, especially when it comes to the city council and the mayor. So you have leadership across the city council and the judicial system. You know, the mayor and the police chief and the judge, Judge Wiggins and Chief Green, are doing the best they can to mitigate, I believe, some of the harm that starts at the city council and the mayor by not funding the police force at the level that it needs to be funded. So by not raising property taxes or not finding that funding somewhere else. So we're looking at female leadership, but we're looking at female leadership in a system that is inherent, is systemically racist. So my hope for female leadership is that they, you know, can, that they can pivot and look at what they've been handed and make change. So we don't see that with the mayor and the council. So I was there a pivot? Well, some people watch the film and might say that there wasn't a pivot. Other people watch it and say that there was a pivot. The music in the film, there's a lot of commentary in the music, you know? So it's an observational film. I'm not Michael Moore in there making commentary about what is being seen. I'm sure he'd have a field day with the film, but that wasn't where I was going with it. But as a journalist, it's also a look at what white allyship looks like in many respects as a microcosm for the rest of the country. It's very easy to point fingers, and fingers should be pointed at, you know, the white supremacists in Charlottesville. But we as progressive white people who want to say we want to be allies, we have to look in the mirror. And so I think I see it as kind of a microcosm too for the rest of the country. I mean, there are towns like this all over the country that right. believe they're doing everything right, but when it becomes a problem that address, you know, where you might have to make changes as far as, you know, spending money to make things right, then that's kind of where the allyship stops oftentimes.
Right.
Wendy, did you want to add anything to that?
To just piggyback on that, it's so easy to look away. That would have been the easier thing to do. I think when Alisa and Neil were able to look at the footage, look at what was being captured, the story, although the intention of the story, and it is still a story about female leadership, it's what happens is it's not necessarily the A story, right? It becomes more of a B story, because what is presented to you is you have some folks living in their own rural happiness, and you have another group of people saying, I just want to get out of jail. I just need another chance. And it's very much so Dixie. So if you look at the history of the South, if you understand what Jim Crow could really look like, no, you're not being physically lynched, but your freedom and your wallet are still being lynched. And at what cost? So I think it's, you know, I applauded them. I mean, when I say we had gut-wrenching conversations, poor Lisa up all times of night. I'm here on the West Coast and I'm on the phone with her, and it's 11 o'clock my time. So it's 2 a.m. there. She's not sharing, but I'm going to share. I mean, the nastiness that came from the people in, you know, many of the people in Pine Lake, not all, but it can become very vicious. And some of those people took to social media to say certain things. They just couldn't, how dare you upset our apple cart? How dare you try to say that we're a certain way? No one is saying anything. It's all there in observation. So I applauded them for not looking away, for not saying, oh, we're going to show less of this so we can just stay focused on the women.
Ladies, thank you so much for being my guest today. How can our listeners check out Welcome to Pine Lake?
So the film can be streamed on CBS All Access, on Showtime, on Hulu. It it can, and CBSN. So am I missing one, Wendy? Oh, with Amazon Prime. So it's Prime. Out there. And I'm so excited and so thankful, Ray, for you having us on. Yeah.
Thank you, Ray. It's always wonderful to see you. Thank you for being conscious and aware enough to have us on the show and to talk about Welcome to Pine Lake. Everyone needs to say it, and I would be remiss if I didn't say it. Everyone, at the cornerstone of this movie is about voting for good elected officials. It's important that we, everyone, get out and vote. As for every single election, especially Georgia has some very big elections coming up at the top of the year.
Well, that'll do it for this week's show. I'd like to thank all of my special guests, Terry Burrell from A Very Terry Christmas, Jay Reeves from the Disney movie Safety, and Elisa Gambino and Wendy Ely Jackson from the documentary Welcome to Pine Lake. I'd also like to thank our engineer, Jami Wellman, and the voice of Entertainment Buzz, Reva Blue. Please join us next week for another exciting edition of Upfront Inside the Entertainment Industry.
If you like today's show, please hit us up at WCLK.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Upfront Inside the Entertainment Industry has been brought to you by Jazz 91.9 WCLK, Atlanta's jazz station, and is recorded from the campus of Clark Atlanta University. Ooh.